Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. It's Consciousness Shift Radio with Gwen Berry and Nicole Tomasini. And I'm going to play a little intro music for us that our guest this evening, Prince Emmanuel, this is a little bit of his voice here. So give a listen.
And you got a little.
It plays into other songs on SoundCloud, and I didn't want that to happen. So I do apologize for the abrupt intro music stopping. I would like to, Nicole, are you with me?
I am. Hello, Gwen. Hi, everybody.
Hey. Good evening. And Prince Emmanuel is with us, correct? Prince Emmanuel, you on the line with me?
Yes.
You are. Well, welcome to the show, and Chief Styles is with you. Nate, you're there?
Yes, we're both here. Good evening.
Good evening. The first thing I would like to say is we send prayers for your dad, Nathaniel. I know you've had a very rough couple of weeks, and I'm sending you light and love and to your whole family, and most of all to your father.
Thank you. Thank you.
Please forgive me. I'm a little fatigued this evening, so I sound a little stranger than I usually do. I'm not on top of it, as they say. But I thought it would be a great idea, and it was pretty much last minute, to ask you both to come on. And perhaps you can take the mic, which you're so good at doing, Nate, and you can explain why we're here and what the message is we're trying to get out. I've posted all the information that you sent me in our chat for people to see. We got a couple people listening. So just please introduce and talk about what we're doing here tonight with the voting for the art and Oshun's village and everything. Can you?
Okay, yes. During the 2005-2006, we created an initiative that has been since mandated by the state of Florida, which creates the Oshun Village and African Caribbean Cultural Arts Initiative. And our focus really is to reunite those in the diaspora with their ancient origins, Orthodox roots, specifically the Yoruba. And Prince Emmanuel happens to be our first international artist in residence. He's a master percussionist, visual artist, as well as sacred Orisha dancer, choreographer. You know, often when we think of the arts or art specifically, we think of entertainment, but it's important that our audience understands that in the ancient culture, the arts have a very noble place, as well as those who are the custodians of the arts. They are really the griots, the ancient storytellers that basically harness the spiritual energy of the ancestors. And I present to you Prince Emmanuel Aderele, who will tell you a little about the Bombay artisans and what he's doing. Tonight happens to be the final night of this competition that's sponsored by Bombay Sapphire Gin. And during the Art Basel, which is probably the most lucrative art show in the world, which is headquarters in Basel, Switzerland, they also have an offshoot on Miami Beach that's the 4th through the 7th of December. And Prince Emmanuel has an opportunity to have an exhibition of his sacred Orisha artwork during Art Basel. So I present Prince Emmanuel. He'll tell you a little about his work here in America.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You do that so well, Nana.
Hello. Yeah, good evening.
Good evening.
Hello. Good evening. Yes, how are you doing?
We're doing well. You know, Prince Emmanuel, I have watched you dance, and I've been so gifted with your percussion playing and the spiritual expression that you've shared with me many times when I've been around, especially at Chief Styles for different celebrations. And the other part to you that, I mean, you're a Renaissance man, but the other part to you is the spiritual art that you do. It's just stunning. It's very beautiful. Can you go ahead and explain to us just exactly what you were going to say? I stepped right in there on you. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, no problem. I just want to say, as we say, I pay homage to all my ancestors and those who are here who paved the way for me being here. And a big thank you to my mentor, Chief Styles, for keeping me in the path. So the exhibition by the Bombay Sapphire is just overall, when I first saw the call to the artists, because none of the exhibition really hold Yoruba sacred art from Nigeria, West Africa. So I just went on and just started to apply for it, and I just chose one of my artwork that we finally chose, batik, tie and dye, with a picture of Oshun, so just to pay homage to Oshun, and we selected that, and for our fans, families, and friends, both home and here in the United States to vote, so Yoruba sacred art can be shown in Art Basel 2013 in Miami. So, boy, it has never been done that they showcase West Africa artwork from Nigeria.
So you're actually the first artisan from your part of the world to bring your art and Yoruban art into the Bombay Sapphire artisan competition.
Right.
And people should know that the link to vote for you, and it's a beautiful batik of Oshun, that link is in our chat room right now for folks to go to and vote for you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're most welcome. Tell me, can you tell me what has been your inspiration since coming to Osun's village here in the Caribbean, the African Caribbean Cultural Corridor with Chief Styles? What has been the main focus of your inspiration? Because you're coming to a new land, and I've seen so much of your beautiful work, but I think folks would like to know what your journey has been. Can you share?
Yes. Overall, my journey in the United States has been peaceful and has been great. And I just want to thank Chief Styles for just being a great mentor, just keeping me in the path that I know that overall is going to pay off in the future and as of right now. And just to brief it up, just seeing me back at home and just looking at that talent and the craft that I have and bringing me to the United States as the first international artist is to show the youths here, African-Americans, Latinos, Caucasians, youths, to believe in their talent and just know that every youth have a voice. Your hand have a voice. like my mother will always say, your aunt will never tell you lie. And Yoruba would say, meaning your fingers, your palm will never betray you. So it's your same palm that you write with and people love your writing, and it's the same hand you write with and people are like, what are you doing? So I want to give a big kudos to Chief Styles for really mentoring me just to keep my craft on check and then still continue to preach the gospel and connect with several youth on several dimensions and giving them a voice, because several youth have talent in Africa and it's like they give up so much on it, having an American dream, and all they want to do is come to America and just fitting into the system. And that's not Styles, as the legacy he gave me is all about making a difference and touching life. Are we touching life through the music? You know, we do several projects with using our music as a healing tool for children in need, homeless people. We use our art, sacred art, for people who are in distress, children with, you know, a little bit of Down syndrome and disability. So this is what we do, and we use our dance shows to empower life. And as young as I am, I'm very grateful that I'm really working with a great mentor who really keeps me check every day to always believe in my dream and just pursue it and be a voice for my country and put it on the map. Because sometimes, you know, everybody, when they ask me like a joke, where are you from? Nigeria. Everybody say, oh. But I mean, I understand that why they say, oh. But for me being in the United States, I'm coming with a positive message and empowering lives.
Yes, you are. And Ewan and Chief Styles are creating a bridge of culture and spiritual expression that hopefully one day it's part of a foundation in my own personal hopes and dreams will bring an end to national borders and make us more of a one people on planet Earth so we can heal it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And with the different traditions too, like I'm looking at your art on the website, and it's got so much soul, and sometimes it's totally abstract, and sometimes you have people doing different things. Can you tell a little bit about in general, like the meaning behind some of your art here?
Oh, okay. A brief history about those artwork, and just like Chief Styles always tell me, don't just pick your brush and paint. Always think before you paint. So most of my artwork is sacred, and it's always telling a story to who I am, my background as a traditionalist and a custodian of my culture. So each symbols you see on my artwork represent divine forces that guides us every day. You talk about Oshun, Shango, the god of thunder, Ifa, Oya, Obatala, all kind of mysticism and spirituality is all in my artwork. And as I always tell my clients that buy my artwork, you're not just buying painting. You're buying a soul. When this artwork gets to your house, you feel the difference. So each time they buy the artwork and people come to the house, they always have a testimony to say, oh, people come to our house and they just sleep off. They say it's always cool. So they ask me the same question. What did you put in the artwork? It's just putting my soul, my heart into it. I don't just want to pick up my brush and just put two colors together and sell it. It's all about putting all my effort into it, and then I pray, you know, on my artwork, and whoever buy it, you know, with a clean heart and a clean mind to pray for anything they want. If the artwork is in their home, their office, their school, wherever it is, it comes forth and answer their prayer. It's not like it's magic, but you have to believe in it and respect the fact that is sacred. So that's what makes it different from other artwork. They are all symbolic artwork, and the symbols are spiritual to our daily life, what we do.
It's sort of like the Ayurvedic, the ancient Tadwas, the symbols that were used that way too, the beginnings of mandala work and such, right?
Yes.
So your paintings, when people bring them home, your paintings, you're telling us that your paintings are more than just canvas. They're a resonant vibration and energy, a doorway into whatever it was you were painting with from the heart and mind at the time, using your spiritual traditions. Yep.
Correct.
That's very special. And so you are the first one to bring you're bringing sacred art to, that's kind of cool too, because Bombay Sapphire, they're a gin company, right? Huge.
Correct.
Distillation.
Correct. And gin, guess what? And gin is used all the time for polarization. Each time I want to do my artwork, each time I pray, I use gin and water for polarization.
I hear you. I see exactly. Well, you know, that's my left-handed brother too, the distillers. I have a lot in common with them, so I understand too. Can you explain a little bit why you would use the gin and water with your art?
Pardon me with my native language. There's always an adage my mom always remind me every time, you know, we do stuff. It's always saying, "Omoditoba mawowe, onilatibagbajon," meaning a child who knows how to wash his hand or her hand will always eat with the elders. So each time before we do anything back at home, we have to pay homage. As people say in the United States, you know, we stand on the shoulders of our ancestors, because you don't do things by yourself, you know. And as we say, it takes a village to raise a child. A child cannot just grow up by himself or herself. So before I paint, before I do anything in my daily living, my shows, I'm always using water and gin as a libation to open the road and to bring down the positive spirit around and the wind that blows bring good air to the environment that I'm painting at or the show that I'm doing. So there's more of positive energy around instead of the negativity, because there's a lot of negativity outside every day. So in order to take that negativity out of my own way, if I want to paint or dance or do my show or teach, I just go ahead and use that as a polarization. And as Yoruba people say, Omi Olota, water does not have enemy. You know, in this world when we were born, you know, water came out, blood came out. So, you know, if we die tomorrow, the same thing, they will still use that same water that we drink every day to put us in the shower or just clean our body. So water is very necessary in our daily life. So that's why I use water as a polarization. And to appease the spirit, you know, I use the gin to appease the spirit and to continue to give me that wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to be able to produce well and to be able to sketch well, to produce my heart to the level that I wanted, and people to see my artwork and say, wow, this tells a story and touch my soul. So, you know, this talent is not paid for, it's free. Like my mom will always remind me, it's free, so use it right so it can be replenished every day.
I hear you there.
Yeah. So do you incorporate the drumming and the painting? Like how does your brain go from one to the other as an artist? How does that work?
As an artist, I grew up in a griot family, a royal family, that you have to know everything in order to function. You know, when growing up, it's like as a child, as fourth son of my father, each time it's like we have maids all around. My mom never let us keep a time that each time she wants to cook, male child, female child, you meant to stay in the kitchen and learn. There was no any shortcut. So it was like, oh, mommy, why do I have to learn how to cook? So it's like she reminds me, one day you may be by yourself. You have to know how to cook. So the same thing with the culture, music, dance, and the art. It's like, you know, you have to know everything. So if you know everything, you know, villagers may come to you one day, they want to ask questions. And if you don't know it, it's like they look up to us as a figure, and if we don't represent that figure right, it's really a shame on us. So all my craft is like I have to just focus my energy. It's not like I'm weighing myself down. If I have to paint, I have to focus on painting. If I have to dance, I have to get in the zone. It's just a daily living, and that's why it's sacred art. You know, I live my life every day like that. I paint every day. You know, the dancing I rehearse, and the music I practice. So, you know, if you don't practice, it's gone. And each time I paint, I try just to express myself. It's not like I have like a pattern or a schedule. I just flow with my spirit. I don't have a sketch pad. All I do is get the canvas, and whatever my spirit leads me to do, I do it. If I'm doing batik or tie and dye or applique or a quilt, whatever my spirit leads me to do, I just do it and pray that, you know, whoever sees it, whoever buys it, it touched their soul in a positive way.
Nice. So inspiring. That's great, because that's what it's really about, isn't it? As an artist, really anyone doing anything creative is to be able to allow your spirit to speak to you and to follow it and to not put like boundaries or rules on top of it. I think when you can find that balance in your living and with your art, then everything flows.
Yes, yes, yes.
I want to mention to Chief Stiles that one of our guests in the chat room is saying that the link that I put in there is not allowing them to vote again. So if you could get another link and put it into
That's
the chat.
Because I've been voting constantly, and I actually tried out the can you vote twice in a day, and I did it. I think maybe people are getting confused, because if you click it, nothing happens, but if you close it and then click it again, it tells
it'll
you that you have already voted.
So it'll reboot for you if you just refresh or close it and connect or refresh. Okay.
Mm-hmm. But it's for positively the correct link. And magically it allows us to vote more than once.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what is your schedule? What is your schedule down there? When does the how does it go? Find
12 o'clock midnight tonight, the votes end, and they haven't really said exactly when they're going to announce the winner, but the competition is done in collaboration with Rush Arts, and Rush Arts is an organization, philanthropic organization, that's run by Danny Simmons, who's a renowned artist and happens to be the older brother of Russell Simmons. So it's really a big deal. You have the Bombay Sapphire Gin behind you. You have Russell and his brother Danny and their philanthropic organization. And then it's all a part of Art Basel. So this is really a phenomenal opportunity to bring indigenous art to a global platform and to really be able to show and to express not just the visual art, but the performing as well as the music, which is something very rare, I think, to find all of these qualities in one artist. So this is the really unique opportunity that we bring.
Okay. Now you were explaining it, Chief Stiles. I did not understand. It's It's in combination with what? I missed
with
that.
Bombay Sapphire Gin is the corporate entity in collaboration with the Rush, R-U-S-H, philanthropic organization, which is chaired by Danny Simmons, the older brother of the activist, artist, Russell Simmons. Yes.
Yeah.
And so it's their organization that's actually administering it as part of the Art Basel International Arts Exhibition.
Okay, that was it. I was wondering, Art Basel, what is, can you elaborate on that for me, please, sir?
Yes, Art Basel. Basel is a town in Switzerland that some 30 years ago, a gentleman decided that he would launch an international artist showcase. And it's one of the most successful contemporary art showcases in the world. So once again, Basel is a town in Switzerland. And about 12 years ago, they decided, okay, it's very successful during the summer in Switzerland. Why not look for a destination in a subtropical environment during the winter months where we can mirror the same success? So about 12 years ago, Miami Beach was chosen as the destination for Art Basel. And you have, I would say, probably over 100,000 international arts journalists from all over the world that come. And all of the restaurants, the hotels are really mobbed by very, very high-end art buyers. I mean, you have people flying in on their private jets. You have the international financial advisors all in town looking for a solid blue-chip investments in the arts. So it's really become the, in terms of American artist exhibitions, it's the premier destination for art collectors in the Americas.
So this is what I was wondering. It's a much larger event than just a small gin-sponsored show. It's huge, in other words.
Yeah, Art Basel is huge. It's just that the gin, naturally, is prestigious in terms of visibility when you support the arts. It also, supporting the arts also creates an opportunity for you to entertain your high-end market. So it's a very, very strategic move that the gin company has made in terms of supporting and aligning itself with the arts and artists.
I see. But it's this Art Basel Festival going on in Miami Beach. It's just really, really big.
Huge. Yes, if anyone wants to Google or go on to artbasel.com, one will be able to see, once again, Basel, Switzerland, Miami Beach, and the latest destination is Hong Kong, to really be able to embrace and to tap into the Asian marketplace.
Oh.
So it's December 5th through 8th on Miami Beach, and you found that there tends to be a very large group of satellite arts exhibitions that have began to develop around it.
Okay. All right. So, and while this is going on, how does Ocean's Village in Liberty City, how does that connect up with, how are you connecting up and putting information between? Yeah, go ahead.
Often as we begin to develop, you know, the arts are some of the key stimuli in terms of transforming and revitalizing communities. But often, before you have an opportunity to draw your market into your community, you have to go into that market and make yourselves known. So we're really using Art Basel as an opportunity to showcase and to promote the international collaborations that we've established, as well as the sponsorship opportunities to be able to create fellowships for artists from other African and Caribbean nations to come and be a part of this thriving multicultural environment in South Florida. So we're really using it as a marketing opportunity to showcase our premier artist, who happens to be Prince Emmanuel Adeleye, not just his visual art, but his performance as well as his dance, along with the visual art. So our openings that we participate in will be quite phenomenal, In addition to the Bombay Sapphire, we have several other activities that we are in the process of solidifying right now. So anyone who's interested could go onto Facebook, Prince Emmanuel Adderley, or Oshuns Village, Miami, O-S-U-N-S Village, Miami, and have a look. And we're always updating the latest activities we're involved in. And it's my hope that Blog Talk, that you ladies will be able to put some links on your page so that those listeners who are interested will know how to contact us.
Oh, sure. Sure. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I always copy your links in. Can you tell me any venues that are distinctly going to be coming up this winter at Oceans Village in Miami?
Actually, no, not during December. Our focus, Kwanzaa happens to be in December. We have several programs for Kwanzaa, and you've had an opportunity to attend, Gwen.
Yes.
Multicultural programs, where not only are we inviting people into the inner city community, but we're also going into other communities to share the culture. And then February, the whole month of February, is African American History Month, so we'll really be demonstrating the arts as a tool for cultural and economic revitalization at that time, with several trade and cultural delegations coming in from West Africa to showcase their work, their artisans, as well as to create bilateral trade agreements. So our real focus is really demonstrating the arts as a tool for community revitalization and economic development. We say that when a person understands their culture, one truly understands whom they are. So you find that in South Florida, we have so many different cultures from the diaspora who have many Africanisms that really don't understand the source. So what we're beginning to do is to engage with these communities and really demonstrate to them the origins of many of the things they do, the songs, the dance, the music, the foods that they eat, so that they understand the ancient origins, that these are nothing new, that these are things that have existed thousands of years.
Right. I wonder if you could tell us some of the different, you know, focus on some of the different stuff. I mean, what is it going to be about? What kind of art and artisans are you going to have? So people, you know, I love to hear, are they going to be painters or potters or dancers or music makers or, you know what I mean?
Yeah. All of the above. For instance, not only will we deal with percussion or drumming from the musical perspective, but also we'll have drum makers, people that make the shakeres and beat the shakeres. So we'll be able to demonstrate the process from actually starting with the wood, the entities who carve the wood, the entities who stretch and put the strings to create the notes and the chords. But we'll demonstrate A to Z, the evolution of the art. Because once again, when we think of art, one thinks of paintings, but really demonstrate sacred artists and what that entails. Same thing with textiles, you know, people weaving textiles, people dyeing with a process called ajere or tie and dye, using the ancient indigo plant, dyeing and creating beautiful patterns. So we'll really demonstrate the vast diversity that exists in the sacred arts and also parallel to their spiritual significance. So once again, deal with things not only from an aesthetic perspective, but most importantly, a spiritual perspective from the root. You know, many things that we do in the West, such as making a wish and throwing the coin into the water fountain, that is an homage to Oshun or Yemoja, the goddesses of water. So there are many things that have a very deep mystical, spiritual significance, as well as many of the holy days that we celebrate, that the whole spiritual essence really has sort of been suppressed, and the focus is on commercial, and we're going to flip that story and really demonstrate the spirituality or the deeper meaning of a lot of the things that are done.
Well, that's just what we need. That's an incredible amount of work to get done, too. One of the things that you just spoke to about creating a bridge of spiritual expression. We're trying to, I don't know if it, I'm going to segue for a moment here and do a little blurb for us on Here Be Monsters, because we are reaching out to healers from many different cultures, and through this winter we're going to do our very best to establish, including Chief Styles and Prince Emmanuel, to join us in an on-air healing ceremony that we'll be doing once a month. We've been doing it for the last year, it's Woman Defined. What we're doing is opening that up and opening up to several different cultural expressions and inviting different people to take the lead, if you will. Am I coming across clearly, Nana?
Yes.
Yes, most definitely. Yes.
And this month coming up, our core group is going to be reaching out to folks to, there's been a council letter sent from the nations to Canada and a few of the northeastern nations to address and do ceremony to heal the earth, but particularly to focus on the crisis that the planet is facing in Japan right now, Fukushima. So I really wanted to get that in there because this is a perfect talking venue to get that in there. Of course, extend a formal invitation to you and to Prince Emmanuel. Emmanuel, I'd love to have you playing for us and enjoying the ceremony. It should be enjoyed, because the more joy you put into a healing ceremony, I think right now, the better it's going to be. Love to know what you think, Anna.
Oh, I think it's phenomenal, and it's right aligned with what it is we're doing in terms of bridging culture. So it's ideal. You know, music is an international language that really touches the soul and the various chakras. So, you know, there's no more powerful tool than music to be incorporated into the spiritual work. So you're very much on point.
I would love for you to expand more on some of the work that you've been doing in the past and bringing to fruit now with Ocean's Village. Can you do that?
Right. Well, it's interesting. During the 90s, while I was studying, 80s and 90s, between Italy and the United Kingdom, I really established very intimate relationships with continental Africans. And I think being in a culture that wasn't my own, being a European culture, it really gave me a context in which to really begin to redefine or to focus and develop on who I was from a cultural perspective. And I realized that as Africans in America, the African component has never really, at that time, it was not really celebrated. And so from that perspective, it was the ideal environment for me to begin to travel and to explore. And so at that time, early 90s, I began to develop, to design, to style, and work with indigenous craftsmen to bring their products in a sustainable manner to the market, U.S. marketplace. So we had an opportunity to work along with JCPenney, Marine Raw Africa, Busch Gardens, the Disney Company, as well as several upscale department stores, 24 Collection, Carson Prairie Scott in Chicago, and really import everything from indigenous jewelry, hand-thrown pottery, hand-woven textiles that we created phenomenal art to wear with. We did furniture for the homes of many celebrities as well as working people, using the artwork or the craftsmanship of very skilled carvers, beautiful mahoganies and ebony woods inlaid with semi-precious stones and crystals from Africa as well as ivory. So we really had an opportunity to make quite an impact, I would say, from the 90s on American society in terms of an aesthetic, creating an African aesthetic and helping to develop and to define the market. And as the market grew, you know that they say that imitation is the best form of flattery, but it's also can be detrimental to your bottom line. So as we really began to define and establish that market, we found that imitation products were being created in the East, you know, in China, in Taiwan, in India. So it was no longer feasible because our focus was never to create products for the elite, but really to make products that were accessible to the masses, but most importantly, embrace the traditional customs and traditions that were used to create these products, restyle them in a contemporary manner so that they would be, there would be a demand for them in the West, but most importantly, in doing that, we were able to create a sense of sustainability or interest in these traditions in Africa so that people would see the viability and appreciate these customs and traditions that they've been preserving. So as we speak right now, our focus is really on embracing and harnessing these ancient customs and traditions and incorporating them once again into Western society. But rather than deal with individual stores, we formed partnerships or memorandums of understanding with governments in West Africa. So that becomes, rather than a personal enterprise, it becomes a movement supported by the government and really demonstrating to them that other than the liquid minerals, gold, diamonds, as well as oil that the emphasis is on, we're really trying to demonstrate the wealth that they have within the people, you know, because so much of the resources that are basically exploited don't benefit the people directly. So we're really focusing on the young people who are practitioners, priests, metal workers, bead makers, weavers, designers, embroiderers, and creating an opportunity for them to come to America to work, to redefine their skills, as well as to market these ancient customs in a contemporary manner so that they're preserved and the lifespan will live on for generations and generations.
Wow. That's quite a job. That's the definition of what you've been doing for quite a few years.
Yes. I think we've known each other for a good 20 years, and when you met me, I was doing it. So, yes, I've been on this path.
We're up to 23 now, or 22, 22.
Okay. Well, it's about time that we at least have one anniversary party. Come on, Gwen.
And I do have a dining room table, don't I?
Yeah.
It's like that, isn't it? You know, I know that I want to ask you because I realize that I'm speaking to a couple of practitioners, healers and officiates here. And I would really love to know how you are experiencing since, you know, this incredible cosmic shift that we're going through right now. And it's actually an astrological event. It's that Saturn, Uranus, Jupiter trine that began in the 60s and is now at its apex or its most pressing point in the last, I guess, 3 weeks. The incredible well, actually, I shouldn't really define it. I should ask you what your experience has been between the retrogrades and the eclipses and all of that. Can you share? Because I know you all have been doing ceremonies.
Right. What I found with clients or those we interact with, it's really been a time of reflection. You know, in many instances, you're consulted for direction, et cetera. But I found that it has tended to be sort of a quiet time that people have become a bit more introspective and really began, because the energies have been so intense, they've really gone within and began to reevaluate and redefine things on their own. So from that perspective, I'd say that it's been a very, very powerful time in terms of self-exploration and introspection for one to go within and to really sort of redefine and develop and chart their own path versus seeking guidance externally, but really seeking that inner guidance. So it's been a sort of a quiet period, I would say.
Well, you know, Jupiter has gone retrograde today in Cancer. And it's defined by, I look to the sources I've come to feel that are really, because I'm no astrologer, but I certainly know how to find good ones and read them and apply it to my own walk and leave the rest behind, you know. But right now, just exactly what you said, introspection, is really, you're right, that it's indicated. And
wow.
Our personal integrity, let me give you, there's a group on Facebook called Cosmic Intelligence. They're from Australia. They've got, I don't know, I think they've got about 18 or 19 different astrologers from all over the world that post there. And they are smoking. They're a good group. But Sarah Gilbert over there says that, Jupiter's the planet of benevolence and growth starts. And it's an annual inward journey that's starting today, stationing retrograde in Cancer. And this means moving slowly back. But basically, that scared the heck out of me, that little thing. During this 4-month period, we can expect to become more aware of our integrity and growth at a personal level. And what are your current roles? What are you playing, the roles you're playing in life that aren't in line with your true self? And I think you just said that, Nana.
Wow.
You may find yourself exploring your personal philosophy by revisiting times when you had a better perspective on life. Maybe reconnecting with lost friends, completing activities, like learning that we had to abandon for some reason, restoring relationships. It sounds like a huge period, a huge pocket of time where we're going to heal things that we've had hanging, if you will, on us, and moving forward with greater strength, inner strength, if we look at this from the correct perspective. What do you think?
Most definitely, as you said, it's exactly what I've observed.
and reaching into the past is very doable, I can tell you, because I actually reached out to the past and healed an old relationship and brought back home to the fold with Daughters of Isis, a wonderful couple of places out in Los Angeles. So, it's been a very prosperous week for that because of it. And it's not prosperity, it's about the sharing of energy and the further creating of community. I mean, it's both. Let me get that straight. It's both. But I think go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and also with yourself, it seems like, when you said about the past, I mean, I've been having these thoughts and memories and images of things I haven't thought about in years from my childhood, like in the last couple of days, hardcore. And so I think it's also visiting the community of yourself, the different parts of yourself, to move forward. It is such an interesting time, isn't it? Because it's going within, but then you're doing so much in there, whether you know it or not.
As you say, there's so much within there after all these years, Nicole.
I know.
Look, it's like going into our closets and trying to regroup. Do we need this? You know, can we redesign that? I've had these jeans 20 years, but torn jeans are in style. Should I throw them out?
Right. The cycle.
Yeah.
But it seems like perhaps what we're being given the opportunity to do right now is, I always enjoyed that saying The Sound of Music. That was the movie where the Reverend Mother says, "Where when God closes the door, He opens a window somewhere." Perhaps the door that God has closed on us that we were never good with and felt like we needed to heal, maybe that opportunity is coming for us to heal it, you know? What do you guys think?
Right. Yeah, for sure. I think, there's the question that we're divine works in progress and we're still in progress. So I think, you know, I walk even when we face those negative things that we don't necessarily choose to remember. That's all a part of the healing process. You know, the reality is that we first have to acknowledge the fact that there is an issue before it's addressed. So I think that's what's happening right now.
There you go. That's really great. I'd like to let people know who are listening in. I haven't listened to it, but the Pele Report is out for the week with Tom Lesher. You can find that at Tom Lesher's,
Kaipatcher Report.
Kaipatcher Pele Report. And Barbara Hancock has published her interpretation of the next couple of months. So all that information at handcloud2012.com. You can find a lot of information, as I said. Also, Cosmic Intelligence Agency on Facebook. That's really wonderful information right now.
You know, wonderful.
Loads of astrologers that are giving really great information.
It's always nice to connect with people all on. It seems like no matter what path you're on in terms of what you do, on a daily basis or with your art, but if you're on some sort of path, it's always refreshing to see what others are going through and looking at doing in relation to ourselves. It's like it's that oneness is just solidified even more. It's great.
It's true. And to address Gia in the chat room, yes. Barbara Clow is actually posting over at handcloud2012.com. Every so often when she feels that there's a big enough astrological phenomenon occurring that she has something to offer, an insight, she's posting. So it's not every other month like it used to be. Now it's basically whenever she chooses, and she has gone ahead and posted in the last couple of weeks. You can find it over there. It's about the Uranus, Pluto, Saturn squaring in the sky and all of the different aspects to it. It's important information. It gives us a guidance.
Okay,
I guess we've completed it. Now, just one more time, if you can tell people where they can go and find this evening before midnight, the Bombay Sapphire.
Yes. Go ahead. Bombay Sapphire. I'm going to pull it up on the wall so that I can give the exact information.
Great.
It's Bombay Sapphire Gin. One moment, let me pull it up.
I've actually got the link, and I'm going to put it into the chat room, and it's in there once again, folks. You can go over and you can vote for Prince Emmanuel's Batik of Oshun, and please do. And apparently we can do it on this link more than once. So just keep it up. Unless
yes,
you have...
it's the Bombay Artisan. Excuse me for cutting you off, Gwen. And
no.
It's the entry, the name of the entry is Oshun.
Yes.
Oshun. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Well, thank you both for being here. I want to remind folks that sometime this month we will be doing another ceremonial on-air show on a Tuesday, sometime before the end of the month, and we're going to be focusing on healing Fukushima.
Yeah.
So great to hear both of you, Chief Nana and Emmanuel, Prince Emmanuel. Wonderful to see you both. Thank you, and Godspeed with everything you're both doing.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. Emmanuel, I want to thank you personally for sharing your mother's enlightenment regarding the wisdom of our hands and their creative nature and how they do it on their own. I definitely needed to hear that tonight. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I guess that's our show for this evening. We're right down there towards the end. Join us next week for the Consciousness Shift at 7 p.m. Nicole, do you have any announcements?
Yeah, on Monday at 7 p.m., we're doing Mind Power, harnessing the power of our mind, sharing some stories and some suggestions, tips, pontifications on how to use our minds the best way. So, yeah, tune in.
And Chief Stiles, do you have any kind of, other than the voting for the Bombay Sapphire, do you have any kind of announcements you'd like to include here? I guess that we lost Chief Stiles.
Oh.
He's still on, but he's not on. Nana, are you there? No, he isn't.
The call job.
I want to thank both Prince Emmanuel and Chief Stiles for joining us this evening. And really, go over to the website and take a look around at all of the art that Prince Emmanuel has to offer. It's really some beautiful stuff. And remember the incredible contribution that both Chief Nana and Prince Emmanuel are making to the healing of the planet in general. And Nick, thank you so much for being here this evening. I hope I was on target, not too drainy or anything.
Very much, Gwen. It's always a pleasure. Always.
Thank you, darling. And I guess that's our show for this evening. We will be back next Thursday evening. And on the 18th of this month, we will have the author, Sharita. She's going to be with us talking about lexigrams and numerology. So I'm looking forward to that.
Nice. Sounds really great. Yeah, and Prince Emmanuel is saying if people are interested in purchasing or commissioning the sacred art, yes, you can do that on their website or get in touch with them on Facebook maybe.
Yeah, you can find them on Facebook, and we're going to lose in a minute. So, yeah, look for Chief Nathaniel Stiles, Ocean's Village, in Miami. Look it up on Facebook and you can find them. And Nathaniel B. Stiles Jr., you can find him on Facebook. And just look from there. Hey, Nick, take care. I'll see you. I'll hear you next Thursday or Monday.
Great. Thank you very much. Good night and good weekend, everybody.
Yes. Have a safe weekend. We'll be back Sunday with the Sunday show. Our guest is going to be Cherie Foytland from Rain, Louisiana. She has a lot to talk about. She's a premier activist in this country. Tune in to listen to her talk about the importance of creating holidays that are not commercialized and all kinds of things. So that's our show.
Awesome.
Good night.
Good night.
Holy crap, man, I was lying.